Welcome, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, whatever your holiday is, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the Hopkinton Town Advisory Board meeting for Tuesday, December the 12th, 2017, at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time in the Clark County Regional Government Center in Laughlin. A few preliminary announcements. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order, combined, removed, or delayed for discussion by the board. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Planning and zoning matters, if there are any public hearings, which we don't have any today, are forwarded to the Clark County Board of Commissioners or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. And then those results are posted in our agenda. Please turn off all your cell phones and other electronic devices. And if you have any conversations, please take them outside. I'd like to have Bruce Henry give you an invocation after we have Father Charlie Ernick, administrator of St. John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church, give the invocation. And the first matter is a call to order and a roll call. Mr. Brown.
You want to do the Pledge of Allegiance first?
You said two invocations.
Okay, I'm here, Ben. He's going to do it twice.
Ms. Oaks?
Present.
Ms. Peppers?
Here.
Ms. McKay?
Present.
And I'm James Maniachi, the chair. I'm here. It's not my alter ego. If everybody would please stand, Father Charlie. The microphone is yours.
If you were to step into any Catholic church or many Lutheran churches at this time of year, chances are the reading you would hear would be from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And if you go through Isaiah, there's so many beautiful things, but many of them concentrate on the existence of this mountain, this holy mountain. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And as you go through the readings, the mountain gets better and better. On this mountain, there will be no hunger. There will be no want. Animals will get along with one another. All types of people will get along. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning sticks. Everything will be peaceful on this mountain. I like to think that we read that before Christmas because it's a great reminder to us that things don't have to be the way they are. Things can be different. Things can be better in the coming new year. We ask Almighty God to help us here in Little Laughlin to make that a reality. Amen.
And Mr. Henry will lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, there are two public comment periods during this meeting. This first one is devoted to comments by the general public about items that are on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items when they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within this jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until comments by the general public at the end of the agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record, and please speak directly into the microphone. Extensions may be granted by the chairman of the board. Does anyone wish to speak about any of the items on the agenda? Seeing none, we will proceed to the approval of the minutes for November 14th of 2017 for possible discussion. And I do have two things on there that need some amendment. The first one is under item number 10, a report from Jackie of the Chamber of Commerce. As I recall, she mentioned what the total was for all the schools that were involved in the project, and that's not listed there. The second one is on page 5, second paragraph, referring to the report on the Mojave Generating Station. There was a new strategy that was unveiled by Mr. Steins, and I'd like to have that a sentence of that described in the minutes. So a motion to table is in order.
Make a motion to table minutes.
Pending the amendments.
No, we're not able
to. Right. So yeah, you can add those amendments.
Right. Okay. Are you second?
Sure, I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Bruce, second by Kathy, to table this till the January meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hearing none opposed, motion carries. Next item is approval of the agenda for today, where we can hold combined to leave any items for possible action. Is there a motion?
I'll motion to approve today's agenda.
Is there a second?
I will second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Roman numeral number 5, informational items. Receive a report from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, Laughlin Substation Commander, regarding activities and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns. For discussion only, Lieutenant Jeffrey Hughes.
Well, good afternoon. I met a few of you. For those of you who haven't met, I am Lieutenant Jeff Hughes. I am the replacement for Lieutenant Fagel, who just got promoted and is heading back to town. So I am your guy here. I'm your commander. And for the record, my last name is spelled H-E-W-E-S. So looking at our calls for service for the month of November for Laughlin, we had 354 calls for service, which was up about 8.5% from the prior year's November. Calls for service were actually down a little from the prior month of October 2017. Our citations for Laughlin were at 301. Our DUIs, we had 3. Our battery domestic violence arrests, we had 10. They were all adults. We had a total of 50 bookings for Laughlin. And 6 juveniles received citations. Just briefly looking at the breakdown of calls for service by location, I'll just touch on, it looks like the Riverside was high with 57 calls for service for November, which accounted for about 16% of the calls for service. And Aquarius at number 2, Tropicana number 3, and so forth. And then out of all the arrests, I was just going to briefly mention that since violent crime is always a focus of ours, looking at the November 3rd arrest that we had on Casino Drive, that was a result of a proactive officer that had knowledge about a wanted suspect and was out looking for him. He finally came across him. As you can see, that stop was pretty fruitful, getting some weapons and narcotics off the streets. And then the November 3rd arrest and searchlight for a battery with a deadly weapon. That was a searchlight resident, and the two parties, the victim and the suspect, didn't know each other, so it wasn't anything random. Other than that, any questions?
Any questions from the board?
I have one question. Since I haven't been a juvenile in a long time, you list six residents. What would be an example of a juvenile citation?
Could be like something that we don't normally arrest for, a minor in possession of alcohol, if you will, or it could even be jaywalking across a street. Run the whole gamut of them.
Okay.
So like maybe truancy or curfew?
Sure, yeah.
Would be a side.
Yep, nothing, no felonies, so nothing violent would qualify for that.
I want to say that because I was a perfect juvenile.
So was I. Thank you.
Thank you. Lieutenant, before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Jeff Hughes. I'm originally from upstate New York, a small town in upstate New York, so I actually look forward to being here in a small town environment. The Air Force brought me out to Las Vegas, where I've been on Metro now for 17 and a half years. My prior assignments as a lieutenant, I just came from the office of the sheriff, where I had the privilege of working directly for Sheriff Lombardo. Prior to that, I was the Admiral Lieutenant at Downtown Area Command, and I was also the K-9 Commander, Backup SWAT Commander, and then our Family Crimes Bureau, and we did have one before decentralization, which was domestic violence and missing persons.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hey, my son's leaving for the Air Force, so that was the first thing, but do you see yourself here a year, three, four?
You know, I never know what the future holds. But as of right now, I have no plans on moving. Like I said, we're testing for captain next month, and I was thinking about testing, but now that I'm here, I would actually like to be here for a little bit. So I hope to stay here for a couple years.
Are you going to move here?
No, I'm going to commute every day, because like I said, I wouldn't be here much more than a few years at most, and then go back downtown. But again, I look forward to working down here and then getting out and meeting everybody. This is my second official day here, so bear with me. I will get out and meet everybody in due time. Thank you.
Received a report from Sergeant Raymond Hubbs of the Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns for discussion only.
Hi, Sergeant Raymond Hubbs, Nevada Highway Patrol, HUBES. Our calls for service last month for November was 92. We had a total of 366 traffic stops and we issued 267 citations. Crashes, we had a total of 4. 0 of those were fatality. We made 8 arrests last month, and 2 of them were for DUI, the rest were for warrants. Also, a touchdown on the direct enforcement. Next month, we are going to put together, and we're also going to try to get with Metro. I got into a lieutenant. But we're going to put a tri-state group together, and we're going to go around and scoop up warrants throughout the area. So that's going to be our direct enforcement in January. I didn't want to do it this month because I want to get Christmas out of the way. You know, kids do not have Christmas because mom, dad's in jail. So we're going to work on that. Also, an update on Trooper Hillman. He will, I believe, next week, he will be here in the district doing his final phase. And then, actually, New Year's Eve to the 4th, he'll be with me for his final clearing of being out on his own. I got to do his midterm a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's pretty solid. So soon we'll have another body on the road. That's pretty much all I got. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
I have one. Do you happen to know the numbers last year?
Numbers last year?
Yeah, so typically we see what the grade percentage is and how it's gone up, or was last month worse than the month before, or last year?
Yeah, I haven't done any comparison, but I can get that to you. If you want, so you want a comparison to the month prior to every month you want to compare to, or are you talking a yearly?
I do the yearly myself.
Okay.
So you don't have to do that, but if you just do monthly, like Metro's, I think, is from the month before, right?
It's month and year.
They do both.
Yeah, they do the month before and they do the year.
like November or December of 16 and 17.
Right.
You might grab a copy of the fire report and the metro report. I'll just kind of go and see how you
can. I was just saying that it was difficult. Like, I'll set a little Excel thing for you, and we can sum it, and you can just put in numbers, and it'll total all those percentages for you each month. And then it'll go yearly each. You know what I mean?
And what program is this?
It's on Excel.
Okay. I'm not happy to come to your office.
I'm
here.
I'm right.
Well, yes, I will work on that and get that.
And Sergeant, when the new trooper is fully activated, how many people will you have?
We will have a total of 6 troops in the district. I'm sorry, scoot back one. We will have 5 on Hillman, makes number 5 in the road. We have number 6 in the academy right now. So, Trooper Burt has started the academy. He's probably halfway through it now. So once again, we're looking at like 8 more months before we see him by the time he's done with the academy and completes field training. So on paper, we're fully staffed, but next month I will have you another troop on the road, bringing us to 5 troops and me until we get Bert out of the academy.
Very good. Thank you. Number 3 is receive a report from Assistant Chief Larry Haydu of the Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues for discussion only. Larry.
Good afternoon. Larry Haydu, Assistant Fire Chief, Clark County Fire Department. Station 76 in the month of November ran 146 calls. That was up about 14% from the same period last year. Out of those calls, 112 were for medical assists. Station 85 ran 64 calls, which is down 12% from last year. 48 of those were medical calls. So overall, we're up about 6% for the 2 stations, and holding steady at about 76% of our calls were for medical calls, which is pretty much standard. The rural division is about 80. In Las Vegas, it's usually around 90%. So we're right in the ballpark for all those figures. Well, I wish everybody happy holidays. But we'll see you again now until after New Year's. We're planning for New Year's along with Metro. You know, that's always kind of crazy for us. We get 300,000 of our closest friends to come spend a week or spend a night with us. So. Any questions I can answer for you?
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have one. Refresh my memory. Which station is 76 and which one's 85?
This is the only time he didn't say that. No. 76 is your station next door. 85 is downriver by Big Bend.
By where?
Almost a Big Bend State Park.
Okay, okay. It's all right.
They're all the way under the house.
That's where it's up.
Okay.
But
you can hit the way. Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy
holidays. Number 4 is receive a report from Greg Turner of the Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the water reclamation system for discussion only. I won't see him, but we have his written report. Copies are available on the back table. And in summary, for November, the sewer plant treated 2.01 million gallons per day. That's and then last year it was 1.89 million gallons per day. That's an increase of 120,000 gallons per day. No service complaints, no odor complaints, 22 called before you dig tickets. And here's a nice little graph on the back that compares many years. I received a report from Chauncey Chaldoni of the Big Bend Water District regarding the status of the water system for discussion only. Chauncey.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Chauncey Chaldoni, Big Bend Water District. The original report for November 2017 was 286 acre feet compared with 292 acre feet the previous year. Total diversion for the year thus far is 3,784 acre feet. There have been no complaints regarding any major leaks or issues. One thing I did want to inform everyone is that on December 5th, 2017, the Big Bend Water District Board of Trustees voted unanimously to adopt the recommendation report of the Big Bend Water District Citizens Advisory Committee. Those include increases to water rates and fees. As a result, the date for those changes in rates and fees will be effective January 1st, 2018. Residents of Laughlin can go to the Big Bend Water District website at bigbendwaterdistrict.com, where we have a fact sheet of the new rates, and we also have a bill estimator where people can put in their own usage and see what their personal bill would be in 2018. Again, on behalf of the Big Bend Water District, we'd like to thank the Citizens Advisory Committee for all their hard work on this issue, and of course the staff here at the Regional Government Center for their help and support. Thank you, Dr. Paulson, Tammy Harris, Doug Wesley, for all your help on this matter. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody happy holidays, a great new year. I definitely will see you guys until next year. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any questions from the board. Hearing none, thank you, Charles. Thank you. Have a happy holiday.
Number six is to receive a report from Richard DeClerc of the Clark County Parks and Recreation Department regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities for discussion only. I don't see Richard, and I didn't see a report back there. Number seven, received a report from the Laughlin School System of the Clark County School District regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities for discussion only. I don't see anybody here from the schools. Number eight, received a report from Tanya Brownworth of the Laughlin Branch of the Las Vegas Clark County Library District regarding current and upcoming activities for discussion only. I don't see Tanya. And there are three pages of calendars and events and notifications, weekly programs, with a note the library will be closed Sunday and Monday, December the 24th and 25th for the Christmas holiday. See if there's anything major here. They also have some movies. Crap Corner. A Lego Club. Building Graham Cracker Cottages.
On the back of the third page is the upcoming events by what I mentioned.
The book sale is open. Oh, and okay, thank you, Brian. December events at the Laughlin Library are listed on the back page. Next, we have a report from Jackie Mazzello of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce regarding current and upcoming events for discussion only. Jackie?
Merry Christmas. I can help you with that update for the distribution of Freedom of Expression. It was a total of 4,800, and Laughlin Clark County got 1,200 of the money collected. I think that was your major question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to make sure you guys remember that this Thursday is the 20th annual Christmas Mixer, where everybody gets a present. Christ puts out a great spread, and we have games and exchange and photo contests. This year we're doing some ugly sweaters. I don't think any sweaters ugly, they're all festive, but it's kind of fun to see what people come up with. That's at 5:30 at the Aquarius in the Splash Cabaret, and we're going to have fun. It's $10 per person if you are not a member. Or the visiting number two, right? And you get to participate in all the activities there. And Aquarius normally puts out a really nice spread. I have some book brochures for you guys if you need them. Also, a reminder that this March is the 5th annual Connie Davis 5K Walk for Cancer. And it will be up in the Clark County Parks and Recreation Heritage Park Trail up at Northridge. And we plan on having about, I'm thinking if we push it 500, yeah, I think we'll make 500 this year. Every year it's gone up about 75 to 80 walkers. And I think we can push and expect 500 walkers this year. Lots of interactive stops where a lot of people can stop and provide you with some goodies and some information about health services. So it's going to be a nice day. We're praying for good weather again. And some real good camaraderie, entertainment, and good healthy food at the end. Anybody have any questions? I'd like to tell you that our VIPs now are about 152 strong, and we're getting bigger all the time. We're actually kind of considering starting a Volunteers in Partnership Junior program so that the interact people and the key clubs can get involved in learning how to volunteer from some of our more mature citizens. I don't know how else to say that, but they're quite qualified, so if you don't have any questions.
Any questions from the board? Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Before we open it up to the public.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just a Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
And any board members have items? Okay. Number 13, one we've been waiting for. Received an update from Grant Rosenblum, Executive Director of Business Development for Next Era Energy Resources, LLC, regarding the project status on 4,000-acre solar-generating field facility in Laughlin Southland for discussion only. Grant?
Well, thank you, Chairman. That is definitely the nicest thing that you said today. You're actually waiting for me. Very often. So, good afternoon, Chairman. Board members. My name is Grant Rosenblum, Executive Director of NextEra Energy, and I'm very happy to be able to provide you with an update on our Southland Solar Project. I don't know how many people actually know anything about NextEra. Doug, next slide, please. Forward to the next, past the next one, and the next one, please. NextEra is actually a Fortune 200 company. We are headquartered in Florida. We have two primary businesses. One element of us is we are basically the NDE of Florida. I don't know if that's a positive or negative, but we are the largest utility in Florida serving bundled customers, and we are also the largest developer of wind and solar in the United States. We have approximately $68 billion in assets, actually closer to $100 million now. We have 170 projects all across the United States in 30 states and four provinces of Canada. Go to the next slide, please. And that's a map of where we're located. And you will see there that we do have two dots in the data. We have the 250 megawatt Silver State solar project that's near Prim. It was originally constructed by First Solar, and we purchased it and now own and operate it. We are a long-term owner and operator of all of our assets. That's our business model. We try to stay in the communities where we have projects and become part of that fabric. The other project we have is a 20 megawatt project in North Las Vegas called Mountain View that is sold to NV Energy. Silver State is actually an off-taker with Southern California Edison. Next slide, please. We are the third largest investor from a capital standpoint in the United States in 2016, investing almost $10 billion in new energy infrastructure. Next slide. And that just shows that we are the top wind and solar developer in the country. And I think all this is saying we have the experience and we have the resources to make this successful. I really wish I could have stood up here today and used this forum to announce that we have a deal and that we will be constructing in the very near future. We don't have that yet, but I can say we are committed, and with our resources and experience, I think we are the best partner that you have to do this project. Next slide, please. Again, we try to do the right things, just the tech company that we are, and again, I think somebody that will be a long-term asset to your community. Next slide, please. So what's happening with Southland? Next slide. I'm sure most of you know the location, a little south and southwest of here. And this slide is really intended to show kind of where we think we're going to go with our Gen Tie route. We are planning on following from the site to the Mojave substation or to the Laughlin substation. We're still open, and there's reasons for keeping that flexibility. We have interconnection, we have interconnection agreements with both the California Independent System Operator.
Excuse me, if you have a cell phone on, please shut it off. That's what that hum's called.
That means? The California Independent System Operator provides us access to California, both LADWP as well as other buyers of energy in California, as well as NVE, that is also a former partner in the Mojave Generating Station. And then the Laughlin substation also is an NVE point of receipt. And so we want to keep all of those options open, and we will follow the jet tie route, the transmission route that currently exists. Next slide, please. This is just a schematic of what it may look like in the future in terms of how we view the usable land on the site. And this accommodates currently 325 megawatts, give or take. We may do a little more, may do a little less. And I think if I did my math correctly, that's, I think, the equivalent of 25,000 homes that we could power for a year. We intend to also include storage on site. Storage is kind of a holy grail in the energy industry right now. And given the level of solar penetration, they are seeing issues on the grid, and storage is the solution for that. And so we intend to also include storage. We anticipate being able to do so. Next slide, please. And so this is going to be on my note. Everybody in Nevada knows what solar facilities look like. But this is an example of one of our larger facilities down in Riverside County. Next slide, please. And maybe not as familiar, this is kind of what storage facilities look like. They basically look like the back of a trailer tractor. They're in containers, and most of what you see is simply the HVAC systems to keep them cool, which would be necessary in this environment. Next slide, please. So I know many of you may not have been seeing much visibly, but we've been doing a lot behind the scenes for the project. We have submitted the necessary temptation to establish that we are not under federal jurisdiction in the Clean Water Act. That is critical for our project to avoid a federal nexus in terms of being able to move forward expeditiously. And given the location of the Colorado River, that was an interesting task. But if we, as you saw from that prior slide, if we kind of smush our panels in the middle of the site, we avoid some of the washes and enforce federal jurisdiction. And along with that, we've completed virtually all of our cultural and environmental surveys that are necessary to submit our applications. The major applications that we'll be seeking are the Nevada Utility Environmental Protection Act application. We do need to go through the Bureau of Land Management for our GenTI and Clark County for our conditional use permit. All of those are essentially ready to go. And we anticipate filing them this year to start construction by the end of 19. And that date is very critical. If we can start construction by the end of 19, we fully qualify for the federal investment tax credit. And that's really the goal. So we are getting to the point where now things are critical. We have to get things moving to meet that deadline. And so commercial activity is the biggest hurdle and the biggest thing that we're focusing on. And next slide, please. So next slide. So what's next? So we are trying to find a buyer. We unfortunately, I think, were the runner-up in the beauty contest with one of your larger casino operators in Las Vegas recently. That we were just told, I don't know how public that is, but I think we were really looking, had optimism on that. But Paul Cadell, CEO of NVE, recently in an interview, indicated that Nevada is going to be, or NVE is going to be, accelerating and emphasizing their commitment to renewable energy. He didn't say exactly how, what their level would be, but he did say that 100% was what his target would be. It'll be probably something less than that realistically. But we know, I think there's going to be a renewed focus on that to try to hold back the energy choice initiative that's going to be on the ballot. So I do think you're going to see some different policy movement from NVE, and that's obviously one of our main targets. The other target is continuing to focus on California off-takers, LADWP, as well as some of what's called the community choice aggregators, which is simply entities that are seeking to leave, similar to Nevada, bundled service of utilities, which has caused some uncertainty in their procurement, but it's a new market. And we are aggressively seeking that. So I think the bottom line is we are highly committed. We think it's a great location because of the optionality, and we're getting ready to go to the next level with our applications so that we can be ready to get the tax credit. And with that, thank you again. Happy holidays, and I welcome any questions you may have.
Any questions from the board?
Is there any possibility of also, because two things, we have sun and wind, will this be strictly solar, or is there something that they can look at with the wind as well?
This area is surprisingly, despite the fact that it's not a great wind resource, so it is solar only, and the lease itself with Clark County is for a solar resource. I think Clark County would be amenable if we did want to do some type of wind. But right now we are focused solely on solar and storage. And storage is a critical element. It really is, it extends out. I don't know if you're aware of what's called the duck curve. But because of all the solar that's occurring during the day, the load is dropping, and then it causes a very steep ramp in the afternoon. And that's causing a lot of problems. And it's usually many of the months after the sun goes down. So if we can shift energy from the middle of the day to that head of the duck, it is extremely valuable. And so storage with solar is a very good mix from a market standpoint.
Okay, I do have some questions for you. On the map that shows the layout of the panels in the fields, there's some hatch marks that say cultural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that strictly concerning the Indian artifacts?
Yes, it is. And I think from a cost standpoint, rather than mitigate, we just is designed to avoid, and that actually works out to be more efficient design.
And did I hear you correct that you want to begin construction by the end of 2019?
Yes. So the way investment tax credit, if we start by 19, we can actually finish construction all the way till 23. But we maximize the 30% credit by starting construction in that date.
I thought I had one more here. I think that was all.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We
appreciate it. And happy holidays.
Okay. I had a couple questions.
Oh, okay.
I just, it just occurred to me as Jim was giving his questions. So with construction starting and then finishing by 2023, what is your estimation of the construction jobs that would entail? And then what is your commitment to staffing to this local area and then ongoing?
So if we assume a 325 megawatt build out, and I think we can construct it quicker than 2023, if we had a commitment to be able to start, it would basically be done, if we could accelerate and the offtaker wanted by 2020 or end of 2020 or 2021. And during that period, I think we would estimate between 175 to 200 average jobs, but spiking it closer to 300. Post-construction, you're probably limited to five or six
individuals,
FTEs full-time with the storage. And given our lease with Clark County, there is no question that we are focused on local jobs. And we would encourage our EPC, our contractor, to show preference to the extent there's qualified job applicants in the area. That would probably be something that we'd include.
For the subs, for the construction,
correct.
For the RFPs.
Yeah, correct.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Sorry, I know you did. Well, I was going there. I was, yeah. So, kind of scary thought with 170 to 200 or popping out of 300 jobs and then going down five when that was only in the last 2 to 4 years. Just to be sure that I'm clear, is this energy that you will provide most will go to California?
Depends on who the off-taker is. I mean, I think we have high hopes if Nevada does start to increase their level of renewables, that, you know, as the MBE. Or a corporate customer such as what Apple's been doing, what Switch has been doing, would be also something that is viable. And so it's not necessary that all of them, even the majority of the power would go to California. It does, right now, I will say that given the transmission that LADWP does have and their appetite for renewables, they are a logical choice. In which case, they would take, assuming a very large percentage of that for that time point.
Thank you, sir. Number 14. Compton Town Advisory Board will be accepting nominations for the 2018 Compton Citizen of the Year through December 29, 2017. Nomination forms are available at the Laughlin Library, the Community Resource Center, Spirit Mountain Activity Center, the Laughlin Town Manager's Office, or on the Clark County website at www.clarkcountymb.gov/Laughlin. Nomination forms must be turned into the Laughlin Town Manager's Office in the Regional Government Center right here by December the 29th at 5 p.m. Only nominations utilizing the nomination forms will be accepted. The Laughlin Citizen of the Year Award is given annually in honor of the late Jim Edwards and is intended to recognize and thank the outstanding citizen of Laughlin who has given his or her private time and effort to help local government make Laughlin a better place to live. It is expected that the 2018 Citizen of the Year recipient will be announced and recognized at the Tuesday, February 13, 2018 meeting of the Laughlin Town Advisory Board at 1:30 p.m. And I'd like to ask Stephanie, who she appointed to the board, since she wasn't able to be here at that meeting. So remember, drop dead times December 29th.
Two more weeks.
Okay, we'll go to Roman numeral 6, planning and zoning. Previous actions. 1. UC 077417, Nevada Power Company, a use permit for a proposed 54-foot high communications tower monopole in conjunction with an electric substation and a design review for a proposed communications tower and associated equipment on a 1.7-acre portion of a 320-acre parcel in PF Public Facility Zone, generally located on the west side of Thomas Edison Drive, 880 feet south of Bruce Woodbury Drive within Laughlin, for possible action to the Planning Commission on November the 17th. And that was approved. Current planning conditions included applicant has advised a bond or other guarantee is required prior to the construction of the tower. This approval includes all future antennae proposed in conjunction with this tower, provided they are all determined to be not visibly obtrusive in the area. To construct this tower, building permits must be obtained for this tower prior to building permits being issued for any other communication tower within a radius of 600 feet. Otherwise, additional land use applications may be required. A substantial change in circumstances or regulations may warrant denial or added conditions to an extension of time. The extension of time may be denied if the project has not commenced or there has been no substantial work towards completion within the time specified, and that this application must commence within 2 years of the approval date or it will expire. Number 2, DR-09317, Tropicana Laughlin LLC Design Review for an addition, exterior, and interior modifications to an existing resort tower, a hotel, Tropicana Express, on 27.8 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone in a multiple-use District 1 overlay district, generally located on the west side of Casino Drive, 1,000 feet south of Bruce Woodbury Drive, within Laughlin, for possible action to the Board of County Commissioners on December the 6th. No action at the post at the time of this posting, and that's because our posting deadline is way before that meeting, so it should be on next month. Item number 7, general business, none. Item number 8, comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. The time can be extended by the board or the chair. And Mr. Bilber.
Robert Bilberry, B-I-L-B-R-A-Y, here representing the Laughlin Economic Development Corporation and Strategic Development Advisor. First of all, I would like to express my appreciation to the board members, to the town manager, and to Tammy and the staff for all the well wishes on Laughlin's newest resident, my grandson Chance, born approximately 2.5-3 weeks ago, and mothering. Son is doing fine. Son is probably doing better than mother, which is probably to be expected, but I sure appreciate each one of your wishes. The, I want to bring the board up to date on a few items. And we have quite a few on our plate here, but I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I would ask the board that for the next calendar year to consider maybe putting an item on the list of reports that are given to the board from the OEDC. Maybe on a quarterly basis, I don't think it has to be on a monthly basis, but probably, probably what we should be considered starting with the March meeting and quarterly thereafter, I think, with respect to the lagoon issue, with respect to the casino drive issues, with respect to the park issues, with respect to the extension of the water utilities down to the 9,000. It would be a nice way, and I probably will ask our newest board member, Murray, to help me with those quarterly reports. Second of all, I have met with the representatives and spoken to the representatives of the Las Vegas Valley Water District and the Clark County Reclamation District with respect to the water and sewer requested the board, requested that we take to approximately 70% design plans to extend the water and sewer down from its existing location approximately on Casino Drive and Needles Highway down to the gas line property on the 9,000 acres, just in the northern section of the location of the NextEra lease property. I think they've asked me to put together historical planning documents of where the prior administration was, where the prior town board was, and I'm organizing those, and I'll be submitting those to both the Reclamation District and the Water District. I'll keep each of you copied on documents I give them with respect to our historical planning. As you recall, the last time we looked at it was on board before they proposed high-intensity industrial use. That was back in 2009. So it's time for us to definitely look this up. Now the question that everybody's asking every day is, how's the clinic? We've spoken to approximately four different potential providers. Two of those are in the process of looking at the market, which we fully expected. I can tell the board that the scope of the project has gotten larger. The range of the potential market has gotten larger. They're now scoping everything from Searchlight South to Kingman on the east to Havasu on the south. And so what they come up with, I can't tell you. They haven't done it yet. I have one of the service providers asked for another 30 to 45 days to bring that up. So I'll keep the board advised as we get that. One thing we will get out of it is we'll get probably the best professional demand analysis for senior retired medical services we could have ever bought. We'll get it for free. So that's we'll get it from multiple sources. So we'll cross-check exactly what's on Medicare, what's on Medicaid, what's private insurance, mm-hmm. and what kind of facilities can we look at. But not one of the service providers we're talking about is even considering anything like we saw at Quick Care at UMC. Nobody. It's substantially more than that, sometimes three or four times that much. They definitely don't want to go out and build a facility, plan on staffing the facility, and have our retirement community and the demand run away from the community. They want something that they can look at for 15 to 20 years in the services community. And I don't have to tell anybody in the room, you can see the growth potential in the whole Southwest area specifically, off of its experience. An unprecedented sales velocity over the last 9 to 10 months. I don't see that changing. As long as we can provide reasonable development sites for those developers. And I would like to thank our town manager. you have any questions, or you...
We're not supposed to comment.
Want to break the rules?
I kind of like that provision a lot. Don't you wish it had applied to me? Okay. Sorry to make your short meeting this month a longer one, but again, thank you for your efforts in the community service.
Anyone else wish to speak? Second call, anyone else wish to speak? Third call, anyone else wish to speak? Seeing no one approaching the microphone, we will move on. Our next meeting will be January the 9th, which is kind of early.
That's what it says. Yeah, first Tuesday.
Yeah. So we will see you all next year, hopefully. Next item on the agenda is adjournment. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion by Bruce, second by Gina, to adjourn at 2:30.
Short meeting, we have a lot here.
All right, here.